Well, good morning. I want to encourage you to take your Bibles out and your notes that are in the bulletin. And indicate that this is the last message in this series. It started back in October. One of the guys in my group said, "Oh, we can't be done already. Come on." This person had calculated we had six more Sundays. That's okay. I'm glad he was looking ahead. You know, as we've been going through this, we've been looking at most recently spiritual warfare. But the title over this series has been "Be His Church." We need to be His church. We are the Church of Christ, the body of Christ, universal. It's composed of believers across all time. But this is, we also need to note that this little letter that was written from prison, Paul was probably a prisoner in Rome at this time, and he wrote this letter to a church that he dearly loved, a local church, and he wrote a number of other little letters, like Colossians as well. And there's some similarities between these two little letters, because Paul had certain things on his mind. He had great hope for the body of Christ. And we have great hope for local churches, really all around the world today, because it is the Spirit of God who indwells all of us and has a job for us to do. Now, just stop and think about this. The deck was stacked against Paul. It really was. He was an ambassador in chains, an ambassador of Christ in chains. Now, wouldn't you call that some limitations? Of course it's limitation. I mean, we all know that we would do so much better if we had just unlimited freedom, right? We could just say whatever we wanted to say whenever we wanted to say it. So what stops us from saying it? What stops us from being ambassadors for Christ? It was, Paul had the deck was stacked against him, but we can say today it's kind of stacked against us as Christians, isn't it? I mean, we're all kind of wondering where our culture is going. You're not so free to, some of us have thought, well, you're not so free to say what needs to be said about life. If you say it, you're going to be called, what would they call us? Come on, there's some words. You know what the words are.
Lunatic fringe.
Boy, you went right for the jugular, didn't you? Lunatic. Yeah, lunatic fringe. What else? What?
A bigot.
Right. A bigot, yeah, because we're against everybody else, right? That's not us. I thought that was Dutch people in the background that I come from. But yeah, right, okay. So we'll be called bigots if we speak our minds. So the deck was stacked against Paul. He's in prison. He's in chains. And, just doesn't have the freedom to speak. I mean, if he does, heads will roll. And today we can say, we'll be called all sorts of names, and we'll be ultimately be told that we don't love people, and we'll have no hearing if we speak. But his assignment and ours is very similar in this. He was to get the word out about Christ. And what's the assignment for us? It's to get the word out about Christ. Now, we can look at this, we're supposed to get the word out. Now, who would that be referring to? Well, that would be reserved for our pastors, right? Because they've been to cemetery and they can, They have that training, and they're so used to shooting their mouths off that that's for them. But you see, the assignment is really for followers of Christ. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 19, he didn't ask them to turn their Bibles to Matthew 28. He just simply said to them, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. As you go, wherever you find yourself, make disciples. And what's a disciple? A disciple is in its simplest terms, is someone who's following Christ. But if you're following Christ, what are you doing? Disciples are making disciples. So this assignment to get the word out about who Jesus is in such a way that people would be drawn to Jesus, be compelled to follow him, and encourage other people then to follow him. So this morning, I'd like us, as we conclude this little letter, remember, Paul is in the first three chapters, he's talked about all we are in Christ. This is what it means to be found in Christ. The first three chapters, this is what it means to be in Christ. And in the next three chapters, chapters 4, 5, and 6, he talks about how we live that out in the world around us. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. We conclude, really bring this to a landing with the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, page 1160 in the back in front of you. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 20. Verses 10 through 20. Just follow along as I read. Paul says in the NIV, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle as individuals, our struggles as a body of Christ, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions." Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, "with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Father, I pray that as we consider this call to prayer, as we consider this call to action, as we consider this call to speak, I pray that your Holy Spirit would instruct our hearts. Lord, get our attention, that we will represent you well to each other and to a world that needs hope. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme at the end of this little letter, and at this the theme at the end of this section on spiritual warfare, is pray for each other, pray for all the saints. pray for me. Pray. If you're a follower of Christ, pray. Now, I know that this is a, I know that in many respects, this is a praying church. I know that there are groups of people who gather to pray. I know that in our growth groups we pray. I know that Women's Missionary Fellowships prays. I know that we pray. But I was just kind of freshly made aware of this yesterday morning when I got up and I went to my phone, and the first message I had was from a young dad in our church. And he said to me, it was just a simple message. He said, this was in my devotions today. And the title of it was, and he just forwarded the whole devotional message to me. And it was on the armor of God. So I read this text, and then the commentary on how critically important it was for us to pray. And I wrote a message back and said, man, I really appreciate you, brother. I really appreciate you. And we are in this thing together. We are in it together. Please hear this. We are in it together. And at first I wondered, I wonder if he's going to think, these are just pastoral words. We're in this together. Folks, if this is really spiritual warfare, and if we're to put on the full armor of God, and if we are people who are found in Christ, we really are in this together. When our children's church people go out, they're going out to a battle. These kids are tough. Man, they're wicked. You believe that? Well, good, I didn't hear any amens. But I tell you though, will you believe this? When they go out, it's a spiritual battle. Do you believe that? But they're so cute. Are you serious? Well, the reason why it's a spiritual battle is this is for the hearts and minds of people, isn't it? And those children are people. And we want them to get the message as to who Jesus is. Now, Wednesday night, there's a meeting for our children's church workers, not children's church, excuse me, our Awana leaders. Anybody involved in the Awana program, there's a meeting at 6 o'clock, and it's here at church for anybody involved in Awana. Is that going to involve a spiritual battle? Do you think it's going to, come on, do you think so? I don't think you think so. Of course it's going to be a spiritual battle. Because everything they do in Awana ultimately is for the hearts and minds of those children and their families. And some of them come from wonderful Christian homes. But even from a wonderful Christian home, it's still a spiritual battle. And if it's a spiritual battle that our people, our wonderful volunteers with Awana are involved in, then what do we need to do? Paul says, pray for all the saints, pray for me, that whenever I open my mouth, I'll speak the truth of the gospel. I'll speak the mystery of the gospel to the people to whom I'm speaking. So, what will I say? I want you to look at the verse 19 again. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, whenever I do, and that would be anybody who's speaking what he's wanting to say, what God wants him to say, whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for each other. Paul is saying, pray for me and pray for each other that words will be given me. That expression expresses the formal language of a diplomat in a diplomatic procedure. It's almost as if he's saying, pray that I will be given permission to speak. That I'll be given permission to say what needs to be said. We know Paul's setting. He was going to be called, and he was being called before all these different, they were stacked up, these Roman officials. And he knew that it was likely that he would stand as well before Caesar, since he appealed to Caesar for the things that were wrongly charged to him. And at every one of those, in every one of those situations, Paul was now extended. We see this in the book of Acts. He was extended the right. Paul, you now have permission to speak. Say what you want to say right now. So Paul says, pray that I will I'll be given permission to say the things that God wants me to say. Whenever I open my mouth, words would be given to me. What Paul is saying is, you know, pray for me. I really need for God to give me the words right now. I've written a lot of letters. A lot of theology books are going to be based on the things that I've said. But I don't want to go off half-cocked when I'm standing there in front of the emperor. I don't want to do this on my own. I don't want to base what I'm going to say to the emperor based on my own wisdom. Have you ever had the opportunity, or have you done this before, where you need to speak to someone? Maybe it's you need to speak to someone directly about his or her relationship to Christ. Someone has maybe asked you. It could happen to one of our teachers in a classroom, and it's just maybe spontaneously. And this stuff does happen among our teachers, and it happens inside of the public school. It might happen with students. It might happen with another teacher or a group of teachers. Well, what do you think about this? What's your position on who God is? Now that the microphone has been handed to you, what will you say? And when that happens, what do you say? Do you just go, okay, now, and I'll just go for it. I'll just kind of try to organize my thoughts as I go. Or do you breathe a prayer that says, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me the words. Help me know what I should say and what I should not say. It's a great privilege to be in that position. I know sometimes because we have a Christian school here, and this is true for Christian schools and non-Christian schools or secular schools, but those of in our midst who teach in the public school will have opportunities, and will have many opportunities to share what they believe and why they believe it. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for these teachers. We need to pray for each other as we all live in neighborhoods amidst people who may or may not know Christ. But pray that we will be given opportunities to speak and to speak fearlessly the mystery of who Christ is. The mystery of the gospel. Pray for us. Pray for each other. You know, we pray for a lot of things. It's really pretty easy. I think it's relatively easy when, even though it's still work, when we pray. But we have a prayer journal. I remember a number of years ago, we used to say that our prayer journal should be called the colon report, because it seemed like what we were, the bulk of our prayers, we were praying for people's body parts. You know, and, you know, okay, so what's the latest on this person? Well, and then we kind of get into the mix. Well, so we pray, and it's, I would not for a minute want to say that praying for people's health and well-being is unimportant. But here's the reality. We're all going to die, right? Eventually, one of these diseases is going to catch up with us, and the end will be here. And though people have been praying that we would have, that we would be fully recover, do you know where, what fully recovering is? It's to be in glory. That's the full recovery from whatever it is that we might come down with. So we're all gonna, this life is gonna end. But really the prayers that seem to be of the greatest consequence are the prayers for the eternal well-being of the people around us, the people in our neighborhoods, the people in our families, the people with whom we work and rub shoulders. This is a prayer of great, great consequence. So Paul prays, or he says, please pray for me. When I have my moment to speak to the emperor, when I have my moment to speak to the guard to whom I am chained, may I speak fearlessly. Because the opportunity will come and go just like that. It will come and go just like that. Even this past week, I stopped. I got thinking, oh, I wish I would have said this to this person. And I wish I could have, you know, my life would have been like a DVR. I could have just, and I'd be back there. And I'd have that opportunity. Because now if I go back and if I said, oh, by the way, you know, that subject that we've now long since forgotten, I can't go back to that moment. So pray that I'll have the right words at the right time. Words that will matter in the life of this person to whom I'm speaking. And one of those Roman officials would say to Paul, Paul, I think you're crazy. I think you think you're actually going to convert me. Serious? I hold your life in my hands. The mystery that Paul was talking about was this really, really odd situation. The mystery was, can you believe it? Because we can be found in Christ, the people that can be found in Christ are people that would actually be the most alienated people on the earth from each other. This is the mystery. And that mystery had to be driven into Paul's hard head and Peter's hard head and John's hard head. It had to be driven into all of their hard heads because they were raised to think that these people, these other people who were not Jewish, were a bunch of eternal losers and would never be anything but losers. But the mystery of the good news of the gospel is we can be one together in Christ. And whether it's people who are wrestling in a marriage that's gone south, whether it's people who are wrestling because of all sorts of baggage carried for years and years, the mystery is that people who are the most alienated people on earth can be one in Christ. So I want to be able to say to Festus, and I want to be able to say to Caesar, this is something that had to be driven into my thick skull. And that was part of his argument. But the words were given to him. And he's saying, continue to pray for me that these words will be given to me. I want you to think. In this week, you know, if you were to ask your friends around here and say, and they were to say to you, how can I pray for you? What would be coming to your mind right now? Well, things are pretty good right now, I guess. Yeah. What would you say? Is there somebody on your mind, someone with whom you would just love to have influence? I know that some of you are going to be hanging out with people this week who are lost. And if you don't have any plans to hang out with somebody who's lost, then try to make some. And as we talk to each other, let's say, let's kind of say, Lord, well, say to each other, listen, I think, I'd like you to pray for this relationship that I have with this person who doesn't know Christ yet. Would you pray that God will give me the words? I know what some of you will, I know some of the things that some of you will be doing this week, the kind of people that you will be with. Wouldn't it be a great, great thing if our prayer, if our prayer concerns were for all these different people that are far from God, and that we would have words, the right words to say when the opportunity arises, and that we would recognize that opportunity, and in a very, very dependent way upon God, that we would say what He wants us to say. Yeah, I get really, really excited about that kind of prayer. A church that's praying that we will, and as Paul says, fearlessly, fearlessly declare the, make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, we all need to be fearless. We all need to be fearless. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of someone who is fearless. Is it someone who's big and strong, has bulging muscles? Is it someone who is just so witty, so great in terms of arguing, that they always feel confident? They just speak so clearly. Is that what it takes to be fearless? Someone who's studied every possible argument against God. That would be the person who's fearless. I don't know if that's, I don't know that that's what it takes. A person who's studied every possible argument, or that person that is strong in body and not afraid of anybody. I'll stand up to anybody. I could stand there in the toughest part of the city, and I could speak Jesus, Jesus, to all these people around me. Is that what it takes to be fearless? Well, I was thinking about some of the songs that Dan had us sing today, that we were let in, and I was thinking, and we try to bring these pieces together, and we sang, "You're the God of this city." Well, if He's the God of this city and the people around us, isn't He the God at that moment that we have to speak? You see, if I really believe that He's the God of this city and we have moments, then why should I be afraid? Why? If He's here, then what do I have to lose? You see, if I have this mindset, I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose. He's the God of this city. And I can't lose. Even if this person just kind of, just overwhelms me with their presence, I have nothing to lose. Remember, there was a wonderful cable series on, it was called Band of Brothers, and I was impressed with much that was communicated, and I think it was probably the third of the 10 series. It focused on fear, and there was a man in a foxhole. Some of you have heard me use this illustration. There's a man in a foxhole, and he was just absolutely afraid from the moment he parachuted into enemy territory. He didn't even want to find the guys that he was to be fighting with. He just wanted to hide until it was all over. He was so stricken by fear, and he's in this foxhole, and he's speaking to a lieutenant that's climbed into the foxhole with him, and the lieutenant said to him, he said, "You know what's wrong with you? You know why you're so afraid? Because you don't realize that you're already dead. That you're already dead. I thought, you know, that has huge implications for us as Christians. What do we have to lose? We're on the winning side. We know what our destiny is. What am I so afraid about? In terms, well, they might not like me. I mention the name of Jesus. They might think I'm a fool. I don't know that I can take that. What do we have to lose? Nothing. What do we have to offer? We have hope to offer them in a world that is hopeless. You could be one of the presidential candidates today, right? Wouldn't you love to be? Well, I mean, you know, it seems like with the choices that we have, I guess any of us could be. This is not a political comment, okay? But it seems like, and they say anybody can be president of the United States. That's what I mean. And, yeah, right. But what kind of hope do they have to offer us? With all their rhetoric, what kind of hope? But if we have the words that God wants us to say, and if he will empower our speech, wow. That has something to do with the eternal destiny of our neighbors, of our friends, of the people that we work out with, of the people that we work with, of the children in our community. Think of this. Of the children in our community that have the rest of their lives to live. We have hope to offer them that is real hope. It is not political hope. It is a hope that will matter for all, literally, all eternity. Don't be worried about what people will think. I need not be worried about what people will think of me. I need to be deeply concerned about what they will think of Jesus. Deeply concerned. And I know he really cares about that. This past week, probably over the last 2 weeks, I've been reading in the book of Jeremiah. Actually, this guy was a crazed prophet. You know, he must have looked and smelled like somebody we wouldn't normally wanted to have been around. But man, it's such a beautiful, beautiful, long book. It's amazing. And he had to stand in front of people that could snuff out his life at any time. They could throw him in a well. They could put him in chains. They could put him behind bars. And they did a lot of those things to Jeremiah. Just did a lot of those things. But it was like what he had to say to people is, you need to get your lives right with God and understand what kind of a God he is. He really cares for you, but he's not messing around. An ambassador. He was another ambassador in chains. And so Paul, it just slipped finally into that, and he mentions this, that I would make fearlessly known the mystery of the gospel, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Probably the word would be singular there, in one chain, standing there before the emperor or anybody else, any other authority. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Rather than wearing the chains of an ambassador that would show that he was really somebody important, he was wearing a chain, chained to a person that would be switched every few hours for him to spend the day with and be able to speak to. You know, we all have our limitations. We do. We all have limitations. We can say, well, you know, I can't speak well. I don't organize my thoughts real well. I just can't get out there ahead of what everyone would expect in terms of a representative of Christ. So what does it take to be a representative of Christ? What's it take? What do you think it takes? Well, it takes a name. Not your name. It takes his name. It takes a message. It takes a message of, and it's, you just happen to have it in your hands. It takes a message that has been emblazoned on your heart or that God is using to shape your life. It takes a reality. It takes literally, guys, a reality of what God is doing to change you. It takes something fresh that's coming from your lips. When this young dad in our church sent me, I went and I clicked this on first thing in the morning. I just powered it up, and boom, there's this message from my friend who's a budding young Christian. And I went, wow. And if he's getting that message every day, I'm hopeful that maybe he's sharing that even with someone who doesn't know Christ. Wouldn't that be cool? You see, what does it take to be an ambassador for Christ? Well, we've all got the calling, whether you realize it or not. We all have the calling. Represent him and represent him well. We've got the word. We've got a fresh word emblazoned on our hearts. And we can be people who are fearless to share it. Now, I want to just suggest something to you. Wouldn't it be good if I had some sort of a practical illustration of this? Wouldn't it be good? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, get practical. Will you, Pastor? Sure, I will. Somebody said to me, well, what are we going to do as far as our Awana program is going? Now, some of you are already breaking out in sweat. As soon as I said, this could be real practical. So we've got Awana, and we've got a school that our elementary school vacated this campus, and it's out at Maybrook. I asked somebody that was here every single Wednesday night, so are you going to be coming to Awana? And this parent said, probably not. It was so easy when it was right here. So we just kind of, but now we're going to be out there, and we live halfway in between, and I don't know that, I don't think that that's going to work. Okay, well, that may be a reality. So some of the Awana leaders have already been asking, so what are we going to do? We may not have any children. Well, we've got a bunch of children that are already from the church, but, I don't know how many departments that's going to make up. What will we do? Well, I was thinking, isn't it a good deal that the elementary has vacated here for now? Isn't it good? Because now we have a fresh opportunity to take a look at our community around us. So how will we get the word out to the community around us? As you stop and think about it, see, this is where you can use your keeping in touch forms right now. You could tell me how we could do it. Okay, so you can write down some ideas. Take it out right now. We're going to pass those in a few minutes. We can get the word out. We can get it out on the internet if anybody's happens to check our website. Or we can we've made up a little flyer. Okay? Now, how will we get this flyer out? Well, years ago, there was a program called, there was a little movie. It was called The Gospel Blimp. And people created a gospel blimp, and they flew over their city, and they had little messages that they wanted to draw people to Christ. And they folded these things up, or they wrapped them in cellophane, and then they'd fly over neighborhoods and dump buckets of the. So we need to rent a blimp. So if you'll all give about a couple $1,000, we'd like to do that this week. Do you think there could be another way we could get the message out? Okay, well, we could actually go hand these out. And if we had a little army, like we've got right here right now, if we had a little army of people that would come help us with this, and we could do this like next weekend, because Awana starts a week. And it's not that we want to build a program. It's not that we want a bunch of kids there. We can say, man, we just exceeded what we had before. Is that why we have Awana? Is this to have a bunch of kids show up here? No, Awana, it's a Bible club for kids. It's a Bible club for kids. So how about if we go out and we go up to, and this is going to be the plan. And a number of us are next weekend, whether it's Friday afternoon, late afternoon, or Friday evening, earlier afternoon, we can go over to the farmer's market with these. And where we see children, by the way, this is a proven strategy. It is an absolutely proven strategy. People who are just bold enough to stand and say, you see children, you see young parents, say, we've got a Bible club for kids. And it starts, it's Wednesday nights. We have a great dinner. It's really inexpensive for a family. So you can come and eat as a family. And then we've got Awana, this Bible club for kids. And what a great thing for kids to learn. And then hand these out to people at Farmer's Market. Also on Saturday morning, we'll go up to Central Park, just a few blocks up the street here. We'll go to Palm Park. Some people will go to Palm Park. Some will go to Sorensen Park. And some will go to Michigan Park. And where you see kids, just say, hey, we got a Bible club for kids. And we'll just hand this. Isn't this an amazing brochure? I mean, just in and of itself, this should just attract people. Well, the brochure has all the stuff on it that to at least get people here, except for the person handing it to them, who can honestly say, we got a Bible club for kids. And I'm excited to do this, and I'm going to ask you to join us when we just let people know we've got this club, because literally, this could change the destiny not only of a child, but of a whole family. A whole family. And all their extended family. Father, Paul said we should pray. Pray for one another. And I know, Lord, we've already got some people that are volunteers to help in Awana. I pray that, Lord, that we would need a lot more. Just because we have such a fresh opportunity to share Christ, to share the mystery of the gospel with children and their families. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a people who step up to the challenge and show our love for you and that our hope is in you, even as we do such a simple thing like hand a piece of paper to children and their parents and invite them to come hear about Jesus. Lord, may you be honored even as we pray for each other, whether it's handing out a brochure or just hanging out with a friend and sharing the mystery of the gospel. Be honored, Lord, in our midst. Equip us and give us strength and a fearless spirit, because we know our hope is in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.